Tonight is Monday night, April 15th, tax day. This is the Gemara share. We're doing something on Inyani Pesach tonight.
Okay. Rabotai, I'd like to handle two topics. I'm going to start with the second one. So if you go to the second sheet, where it says Source Tet, we're going to see a machloikis between the Rashbam and Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam about the following halacha quoted in the Gemara concerning the Seder itself. On the top of the page, in the second line of the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Matzah Tzorich Lahagbia. Maror Tzorich Lahagbia. Basar Ein Tzorich Lahagbia. That when you, at some time, Rava doesn't say when he's talking about, but you have to pick up the matzah, you must pick up the maror, and the meat, or the that which represents the Korban Pesach, the shank bone, you don't have to pick it up. Velo od, but furthermore, not only don't you have to pick up the shank bone, you should not pick up the fat shank bone. Why? Eloshenira ke'ochel kachim bachutz. If you were to pick up the shank bone and say something, whatever it is, we'll see in a minute, it might generate the impression that this is a real Korban Pesach, and I'm eating it in Teaneck, New Jersey. And we know that Teaneck is a Ira Kodesh, but it's not Yerushalayim Ira Kodesh. And you are not permitted to eat Kachim Kalim for all of Am Yisrael outside of Yerushalayim. And therefore it would be best not to create such an impression and avoid picking up the shank bone. Just as an aside, just to inform you, because hopefully it'll be Halacha L'maisa soon, the definition of Yerushalayim, where it comes to the eating of Kachim Kalim and the consumption of Masa Sheni, is only within the walled city of Yerushalayim. Only within the walled city. However, if you would like to eat, if we'd like to expand the sanctity of Yerushalayim, which the Beis Din HaGadol, when it comes about, will do as one of its first acts. They want to sanctify the King David Hotel and the Plaza Hotel and, you know, and all the great hotels and the places where we eat. All of Yerushalayim, they want to go all the way to Ramot. So the Mishnah in Sanhedrin tells us the way to do it is to take three members of the Sanhedrin Haggadah and they eat Kachim Kalim in this area, in their presence, with the purpose of sanctifying it with Kedushas Yerushalayim. That's what you have to do. If you would like to expand the Kedusha of the Azara, in which you're only allowed to eat Kachi Kachim, so a Kohen is allowed to eat a Korban Chatas, or a Korban Shlom, excuse, a Korban Asham, or a Korban Mincha. There is a way to expand the Azara as well. You can include the entire Harabais. How? Once again, you get three members of the Sanhedrin. A Kohen eats the Korban Chatas or the Korban Asham in this locale in their presence, and Beis Din declares this with now Kedushas Kodshe of the Azara, allowing you to eat Kodshe Kodshim. So there will be a time in Meretz Hashem very soon where all of Yerushalayim, what the Israeli government considers Yerushalayim, not just within the old city, you will be able to eat Kodshim and Masa Sheni. And Masa Sheni. So this is what Rava said, you're supposed to pick up the Mara, the Matzah, and so on and so forth. So we'll start with the Rashbam, who has one opinion as to when Rava is directing us to pick something up and why he is directing us to pick something up. So Rashi on the left-hand side, source Yud, says, Tzorich lahagbia, kisha omer matzah zu sha'anu ochlim. Marar zeh she'anu ochlin. When we say Rabbi Gamliel's paragraphs, matzah zu she'anu ochlim and marar zeh she'anu ochlim, that's when you're supposed to pick up the matzah or the marar. Anybody here pick up the matzah and the marar at that particular time? You pick it up or you point to it? Good. That's my father's practice also, was just to point to it. And pointing is always related to the fact that it was zeh. When you see the word zeh in a text, it means you point. The very famous, the most famous example is v'zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah. At the beginning of Parshas Baaloscha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu points to the menorah of Eish and says, Kazeh, this is the way you're supposed to build it. Or it points to the moon and says, HaChodesh HaZeh, Kazeh Re'ei V'Kadesh. And that's what one of the pictures that was sent back last week by Bereshit, that was what they said, Kazeh Re'ei V'Kadesh. That's fine. That's when you're supposed to pick it up. And the Rashbam says why, which is a little difficult. Kidei laharoson limisubin. It's in order to show the matzah and the maror to all of the people sitting around your table. V'teichavev mitzvah be'enehem. So that this mitzvah will become a little more cherished and desired in the people's minds, in their eyes. That's what the Rashbam says. So there are two things, just the fact that you have to pick it up to show it to others shows that not every person has their own seder plate. Today it's become like a style that every head of the household, whatever it is, or everybody's got to have their own little seder plate. Every little kid, every grandchild, they all have their own seder plate. In a time of the, what? Yes, but it's not only Sfaradim. I've seen plenty of Ashkenazim. According to the Rashbam, no doubt the Seder plate was only in the hands of the person leading the Seder. So in order to create this Chibuv HaMitzvah amongst all the other Misubin, he would now pick it up. Now, he doesn't tell us why of all mitzvos of the Torah, even seasonal Yom Tov mitzvot, are these two the only ones that you have to be laharos chibasan? Why don't they say that, you know what, when you sit at a meal on the first night of Sukkos, pick up a lulav and esrog, so that you will show everybody, oh, this is a lulav and esrog, and you will demonstrate chibuv hamitzvah. And on Rosh Hashanah, we should take a shofar and say, laharos chibasam. Why only matzah and maror is it designed laharos chibasam? That the Rashbam doesn't tell us. Doesn't tell us. All he concludes, just one second, v'chein b'tshuvas haga'aynim, same thing, I found this in the response of the Gaonim, the ha'ad ha'amat tzorech lahagbiya, Hainu b'matzah zu da'agadata. When did Rava have in mind you're supposed to pick up the matzah in the maror? When you're reciting during the Haggadah, matzah zu sha'anu ochlin al shumma. Yes.
Can it be because matzah and maror are foods, and that way they're different from all the other mitzvahs?
Good.
So here you want to be able to show that the reason that this is not because I'm just eating it.
Good, excellent. So several achronim identify that as precisely what's running through the Rashbam's mind. When you're dealing with a lulav and an esrog, every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam knows very well that this is an article of a mitzvah. And if you understand emotionally what a mitzvah is, you'll cherish it. Here, this is a food. It's a nice flat piece of bread. It's romaine lettuce. So in order to highlight the fact that they are a mitzvah, so therefore you go ahead and pick it up. That's one good explanation. Yes?
Isn't this all built in and built around the concept of the Higadata Lubimcha, part of the enhancement of the story of getting into of Pesach?
Yeah, but why did you have to pick it up? You're saying to say that a whole night, you're eating the matzah, you're eating the maror, you're reclining, you're drinking abacosos. Why did he have to pick it up? Perhaps. No, that's what he's saying. Laharos chibasam. That's exactly it. To become a little more enthusiastic. I'd like to suggest that there is another origin to picking something up. Picking something up. And it's dafka with this, and it's dafka Pesach at night. One of the telltale signs of an Eved is that the concept of kinyan doesn't exist for an Eved. The halacha is kol ma shekana Eved kana rabo. Whatever the slave has acquired automatically is acquired by the master. And in fact, it's good. So when a slave becomes free, he now gets, for the first time, to experience acquisition. And when you're dealing with anything that is metaltolin, anything that can be moved, the only way in which you can acquire metaltolin is by picking it up. There's no other way. We paskin against Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that Dvar Torah Maos Konos. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that Mida Oraisa, if I give you a dollar and I want to purchase this, I can give you a dollar and I acquire the tape recorder. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan that Mida Oraisa Maos Eino Konos. And the only way that you can pick up, acquire metalton, is by picking it up. That is why when you ask me to become your agent to sell your chametz, I also have to tell you that I have to rent the cabinets upon which the chametz is being stored. Because otherwise, the Gentile would have to come to your house and pick up all the chametz, every box of cereal, every box of ringdings, he would have to come and pick it up. So what we do is we rent to the Gentile property. Real property, not movable property, can be acquired by Kesef. And then we apply the halach of Kinyan Agav, that if you are acquiring real property, movable property that happens to be on this real property can be acquired at the very same time when you will purchase the real property. So that's why we do it. So I'd like to suggest that the picking up of something relates to the fact that it is a symbol of acquisition of freedom. So, and in fact, this will relate back to something earlier in the Seder as well. So it's not going to be the only time that we make some type of a statement. Here I am highlighting. And it's particularly when I say matzah zu she'onu ochlim al shumma. As you well know, Rabbi JJ spoke about it on Shabbos and mentioned this many times, the matzah itself has a dual symbol. At the beginning of the Seder, when we say holach ma'anya, it's holach ma'anya. Darko she'oni beprusa. It is symbolic of our period of enslavement. Am Yisrael ate matzah for 210 years because they didn't have time to allow it to bake. But it was a symbol of their poverty. But yet, matzah is also a symbol of ge'ulah, of redemption. When does the matzah switch? When you eat it. Matzah zushanu ochlim al shumma. Why? Not because we ate this in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Because it's al shalo hispik bitseikam lahachmitz. We didn't have enough time to allow it to ferment. When? When the Mitzrayim drove us out. When HaKadosh Baruch took us. Uge alam. And he redeemed us. Fine. Ki gorshu mi Mitzrayim. They took us. They drove us out of Mitzrayim. So at this particular time, when we now recognize that the matzah is a symbol of acquisition of freedom, we now pick up the matzah to demonstrate, I now have a sense of chayrus, hence legally I can pick something up to demonstrate that it is mine. But at the other hand, we make that very same symbol as well, earlier in the Seder in during the period of Holach Ma'anya. We say a phrase which has troubled every Haggadah. I'm sure you got 50 Haggadahs like everybody else. And they're all very, a lot of them are real, not all. A lot of them are very, very good Haggadahs. So you see a Haggadah, it'll ask, what do you mean, kol dichvin yesei v'yechol, kol ditzrich yesei v'yivsach? It's a little too late to start asking now, to stand at your door, oh, anybody hungry? First of all, the Mishnah says that Pesach night is the only time that there are no hungry people. Even if you support yourself from the Tamchuy, it's the most famous Mishnah in Shas, Afil Ani Shebi Yisrael, Elo Yochad, Afil Amin HaTamchuy. You have to make all the provisions of Pesach at night. And the Korban Pesach, Kol Ditzach Yesev Yivsach, of course he can't eat the Korban Pesach. In order to be an eligible eater for the Korban Pesach, everybody knows this, you have to be part of the group at the time when the Korban Pesach was Nishchat. So what are you making the announcement for? So the answer is to demonstrate that although I am going to declare that I am a free man tonight and I have legal acquisition, I am saying right now that I recognize that the ultimate owner of everything that I own is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do I symbolize that I forfeit my personal ownership? By making a statement, you know what? Anybody wants to come in can take it. Kol dichvin yes, anybody wants to take? Because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it demonstrates something which is very much anti of the typical tendency of a slave. Slaves, because they've had no personal property during their slavery period, they become very selfish. This is documented in all psychology books. They're selfish, and they don't want to share with anybody because they've had nothing of their own up until now. So on the one hand, we pick up the matzah and the maror a time during the Seder to demonstrate we now have acquired, we have the power of acquisition. On the other hand, there is another idea that we acknowledge that despite the fact that we have become free and have the power of acquisition, nonetheless, we choose to recognize the ultimate authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's early on in the Seder. That's what I would suggest in terms of picking it up. Or you can say, like Yehuda said, it's a food, and hence I have to be the Haros Ulechabev HaMitzvah Beinayim.
Any connection to, I would say, hold up our door, also Laharos?
Yes, 100%, no doubt. Now,
so why is it that, why is the Korban Pesach excluded?
Because if the Bisman HaMikdash, I would pick it up. 100%, I would pick up the Matzah Pesach too. Yeah. I would.
So just because of this concern?
Just because of this concern. Correct, because I would damage. People would think that you're allowed to eat Psar Pesach Chutz LYerushalayim. Therefore, I don't want to lead anybody astray.
Isn't that concern bizarre?
A little. I can't. You know, okay, but I didn't make it up. Rava did.
No one made a Korban Pesach.
We'll see. There are plenty of things that Ame Ha'aretz think about, and
is that,
yeah.
Are we not at Sli on the same thing?
That's correct. We're so makbid about that. Not to eat Sli, not to eat roasted meat, Pesach at night. And the Ramah extends it to so many things for which the Korban Pesach can't have a Korban Pesach made out of chicken, and yet you're not allowed to eat roast chicken. You can't make a Korban Pesach on pan roasting, it's got to be over an open fire. And yet the Ramah does not eat, allows to eat what's called Sli Kedar. Mm-hmm. My mother used to force us to eat the boiled chicken. Boiled chicken for Pesach at night. You know? Yeah, chickens, yeah. But boiled chicken. Now, yes. Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam in Source Yud Aleph disagrees as to when the picking up takes place. Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam is a not so well known Ashkenazic scholar of the 12th century, and he wrote a very famous poem It is included in our Haggadah. It's included in our Siddur on the Yotzros L'Shabbos Haggadah. So if you look in the back of your Siddur, you'll find Yotzer for Parshas Shkalim and Parshas HaChodesh and Parshas Zachar. Today, I don't know of a modern Orthodox shul that says Yotzros. In Brooklyn, by Chassidim, they're still saying Yotzros. They still say Yotzros? There's no minion anymore. They don't have a minion anymore.
This morning, after staying up,
really? Wow. Okay. Yeah, the Rav always said Yotzros, but he didn't say it during Chazoros HaShatz. He thought it was a hefzik like the Gaon, so they said it after Chazoros HaShatz. Just said the Yotzros. We only say, most shuls just say Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's all, to say the Yotzros during Chazoros HaShatz. So, yeah. So he wrote a poem, a poetic poem, with all of Hilchas Pesach. And it's included, it's the name of the paragraph is Ein Aroch Lecha, and he has all of the halachas of Pesach. And he writes, Vikad, afterwards, Vikad Ochal, before you eat, Yechtza Achas Mishalosh Matzos, you should divide, make Yachatz with one of the three matzos, Ve'ein Bracha Ima. There's no bracha at this time. Normally when you are botseya, what's the next bracha? Hamaltzi lechem and aretz. Here, you break the bread, the middle matzah, and you do not make a bracha. Fine. Interestingly enough, this opinion of Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam codified all Ashkenazic scholars against the Rambam. The Rambam believe you don't start with three matzahs Pesach at night. You start with two matzahs. And that the mitzvah of Lechem Oni supersedes the halacha of Lechem Mishnah. There is no halacha of Lechem Mishnah Pesach at night. So you start with two, and then you break one of, you're left with one and a half. And in fact, according to the Rambam, Yachatz does not take place here at the Seder. It takes place after Rachza. So the little kids have to sing the song completely differently. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Magid, Rachza, Yachatz, Motzi, Matzah. So tell your kid to try that once. What? Who cares? That's according to the Rambam. But he codes the Ashkenazic thing. Mechtza b'ke'ara, u'mechtza b'shulchan lohasima. Half the broken matzah you put on the ke'ara. How many people have matzah on the ke'ara? No one. Yet, here he is in agreement with most Rishonim who say that there should be matzah on the ke'ara. Even though the Gaon, when he put his ke'ara out for design, did not have any matzah on his ke'ara. But the Rambam has matzah on his ke'ara. Many of the Balei HaTosis have, and he includes that as well. So half goes on the ke'ara, u'mechtza b'shulchan lahasima, to put it away someplace. That's for what? Afikoyman. Fine. Very nice. Now, mosheich mehake'ara shnei tavshili. You take off from the ke'ara the two cooked items. The egg and the roast shank bone, kagon bisra v'kavu, that's the egg and the meat, inami garma ubishule, some other cooked items, whatever it is, those that symbolize the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chagiga. Umagbia ke'ara, now you pick up the ke'ara, v'lema, and he begins to say, holach ma'anya kule. You say all of holach ma'anya. So he, Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam, believes that when Rava said, Tzorech lahagbia, what do you pick up? You pick up the matzah and the maror and the charoises, but and you take off, just as Rava instructed us, not only to take off the roasted meat, but to take off whatever you're using as a korban chagiga, again, not to confuse people and assume, so that's even a greater, who's going to think that an egg happens to be a korban? But anyhow, fine, there are people who believe that. So, now, what's the purpose of picking it up at this particular point in time? What's the purpose of picking it up at this particular time? So take a look at the Rashbam on the bottom in Source Yud Beis, and he writes. Now, it says the Gemara. This is a different Gemara, which then we are focusing on. But in the Gemara at this point, in the Mishnah, it actually says that you're supposed to move the table, akiras hashulchan. Now, what does that mean? It means that people used to eat at small little stack tables, sitting on a nice little couch. So haseba was very, very simple. And when you are ready to start the Seder, again, what you do is you remove the Ke'arah. So the Rashbam says that today, Einos Keres HaShulchan. Shemitzvah hi la'koras HaShulchan. There is a mitzvah to move the table. Kidul HaKaman, as the Gemara says. For what reason? Ki heiche de'lehevah hekeira latinokos. It's one of the many things for which we do just to generate a little curiosity for the kids to start asking questions. The hani mili liditu. That's only for them who ate on stack tables. However, the hevelay shulchan katan lifnei mi sheomer hagado levado, or the chein lechol echad. Either with this little stack table with the kara was in front of. Just a guy who's saying the Haggadah, or everybody had a stacked table upon which they would eventually eat. But we, Aval Anu, we can't move our table. Try moving your whole dining room table. It's a little difficult. So what do? Misalkin es haka'ara sheba matza umarar v'shnei tavshin l'soch ha'shulchan v'day lanu b'kach. What do? You take the ka'ara and put it at the end of the table, and that's enough. The yesh shinoagin lahabia es ha'kara alakaf. And what do some people do? They pick up the ka'ara, put it on the hand, and they wave it around. Again, for what purpose? Simply for hekera. Umotzien habasar min ha'kara. And they, before they start waving it and picking it up, they take the meat off the table. And the Rashbam says, V'lav milsahi. This is not the correct interpretation. When he is supposed to, he goes back to what he said. When he is supposed to pick it up, when you say, Ram Gamli Aloyna. So according to Rabbi Yosef Tovelim, the entire picking up of the Ke'ara is right before you start Magid, right before Halach Manya, just to pique the curiosity of children. So one of the ways which you do it is you start picking it up, you show it to everybody, and then the kid will say, where's my gefilte fish? Why aren't we washing? Why aren't we eating bread? And so on and so forth. So there are two different explanations and times when Hagba'ah takes place. Again, I haven't seen anybody pick up the Seder plate. Again, every time we have to make a reference, Halach Ma'anya, what do? You uncover the matzah and you show it, and you point to it. Because throughout the entire Haggadah, the matzah is covered. The matzah is covered. Why is the matzah covered throughout the entire Haggadah? What? Excuse me, it's not covered the entire Haggadah, it's out. It's covered at certain times. When? Only when you raise the kos. Because that conflict. But normally it's.
Uncovered during Magid.
What? It's uncovered during Magid. Correct. Correct. Same idea. Exactly. So, but the kid will see, what's going on? What are you picking it up for? So it's either to demonstrate something through Hagbaha or to serve as one of the methods of. Piquing curiosity of a child.
Isn't Paul the same thing as Zed?
Who?
Mahmanya. Isn't it the same thing as Zed?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. Yes.
The picking up happens, according to this, the picking up happened after Halach Ma'anya, Before the Manishtana.
Before the Manishtana.
You think that he would, I mean, not to change the Nusra for the Girsa, then one of the questions should be one of the, he sees it, you know, one of the four questions, or the fifth question should be, what's going on with you picking up the matzah back and forth?
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. It's a very good question. The truth is, the four questions that we have are almost impossible for a child to ask them simply based on what he's seeing. He hasn't seen anything. And it's not supposed to be because they learned it in school. It's supposed to emerge from what is taking place. But they haven't eaten any matzah yet. They haven't seen two tibulim. They haven't seen any maror yet. So perhaps that might be why Rabbi Yosef Tov Elim says, show it to them. Pick up the ka'ara, let them see the matzah, let them see the maror. I can understand it, because otherwise there's nothing there. In fact, there is one Rishon, I forgot his name, it's a very, not a well-known Ashkenazic scholar, it's quoted by the Meiri, who says that we have the whole Seder all wrong. What's supposed to happen is, right after Kiddush, you're supposed to eat the halachic meal. Just the halachic meal. Matzah, maror, and that's it. And you have karpas. You do karpas. Wash, make hamotzi, eat maror, and then say, that's it. We're going to start magid now. So then the kid's in a position. They leaned over when they ate matzah. They leaned over when they ate karpas. They saw two tibulim. Then he's in a position to ask the question. However, we don't do that. We follow the Rambam, who says that the events tonight are called Seder. And the Rambam uses the word Seder only three times in all of Mishneh Torah. Only three times. First, in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Tes, which describes Seder Tefillas HaTzibur Kachi. Two is in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Seder Asiyas Mitzvos Eilu B'Leil Chamisha Asar Kachu. Seder Avodas Yom HaKippur. That's it. And each time, any change in the Seder means you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah properly. Not going to fill the mitzvah properly. That's what Seder means. The Seder is Ma'akev. So we, for some reason, reject that and we follow the Rambam's opinion. We follow the Rambam's opinion. Fine. Okay, let's move on to another topic. Second topic. Going back now to the first page, source Aleph. I want to spend some time on Charoises. Because there is an interesting Rambam in which the Rambam contradicted himself. Happens 458 times, maybe more. And let's see how we handle it. So this is a Mishnah in Psachim Daf Kuf Yudalid. The Mishnah says, in the middle of the first line, Heviu lefanav matzah v'chazeres v'charoses u'shnei tavshilin. You're supposed to bring matzah, chazeres is lettuce, romaine lettuce, that's for maror, v'charoses u'shnei tavshilin. Af al pi she'ein charoses mitzvah. Even though the charoses does not constitute a mitzvah like the other items mentioned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer ben Sadok omer, mitzvah. Rabbi Lezer ben Sadok says, charoses is a mitzvah. U'bemikdash ha'yemivin lefanav gufo shel Pesach. And in the mikdash, what else would they be bringing to the table? The meat of the Korban Pesach. Meat of the Korban Pesach. So if you go now to page, on the back of this page, Sur Zion, sorry for the small print, this is the Rambam, his Perush HaMishneh, which he wrote when he was 18 years old. And it's the next to the last line of that entry. Next to the last line. The Rebbe Loz, in the middle of the next to the last line. The Rabbi Elazar b'Reb Tzadok Omer Charoses Mitzvah, says the Rambam. Lida'ato, his opinion means Shechayav Adam Livarech Asher Kedishanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu Alachilas Charoses. And that would mean you have to eat a kezayis of charoses, because you can't say alachilas anything unless you eat a kezayis. Says the Rambam, ve'ena halacha. The halacha is against him. Who is the halacha like? Like the chachamim, who say that you're obligated to bring the charos today, but it's not a mitzvah. So the Gemara will ask immediately, what? So if it's not a mitzvah, what do you bring it for? So the Gemara says, the primary explanation, there is another one, it says, Mishum Kappa. I should have focused on that source. Mishum Kappa. Kappa. What does Kappa mean? It is the sharpness of the Maror. Kappa means sharpness, so it's somehow to diminish the sharpness of the Maror, that's why you bring Charoses, but in and of itself, it's not a mitzvah. That's the way the Rambam paskins in his Mishnah, in his Perish HaMishnah. However, if you go now to source Dalid on the first page, source Dalid, the Rambam writes, HaCharoses Mitzvah Midivrei Seifrim. After writing in his Perish HaMishnah, Eina Halacha, the Halacha is against Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok, he starts his words by saying, HaCharoses Mitzvah Midivrei Seifrim. And in fact, in the next halacha, he writes, that mitzvah midivrei sofen today, to eat maror. Maror is also only a mitzvah midrabanan today, because there's no korban pesach. Maror is only d'oraisa together with korban pesach.
So what's your point, the fact that he says about maror too?
No, I'm just saying that, don't think that this is not a serious statement. Hacharos mitzvah midivrei sofen means, who is he paskening like? Like Rabbi Elazar Tzadok. So the Lecha Mishnah points out, don't get hysterical, there must be several hundred times where the Rambam wrote one thing when he was 18 years old on his Perish HaMishnayis. When he was 44, he wised up a little and paskined a little differently. Don't get hysterical. Don't get hysterical. Right? Yeah. So it's a mitzvah. Now, if he believed that he halachas like Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok, and he maintains what he wrote in Perish HaMishnayis, what does it mean that that it's a mitzvah? You have to eat a kezayis, and what? You have to make a bracha. Well, that he didn't go so far, as we will see. And so skip the zecha letit for a minute. Skip that for a second. On the second line, I'm going to get back to it. The last six lines of the second line. Umivien osa al hashulchan belele hapesach. Umivien osa al hashulchan. What a chiddush. You bring it to the table. And if the Rambam didn't tell me to bring it to the table, you wouldn't have brought it to the table? Otherwise, how are you going to have charoses on the table? For whatever reason.
Maybe if the reason was Mishum Kafra, you could have dipped it in the kitchen and not
put the charoses. Okay. Is it also possible that the Rambam here is defining what the mitzvah is? As opposed to it is a mitzvah to eat, what is the mitzvah? Just to bring it to the table. That's the mitzvah. Hava el ha-shulchan. And this particular mitzvah of Hava doesn't say you're supposed to make a bracha. They're obviously not going to say al achilas charoses, but you shouldn't. You can make a bracha al havas charoses if that's the essence of the mitzvah. What exactly does he mean right here? It's also unusual that the Rambam became a cookbook. Go back to the first line, the Rambam writes ha charoses mitzvah midivrei sofrim zecher letit. It's a commemoration of the cement. And the Rambam's going to tell you how to make it. The Ketzid Osin Osa. Lokim Timarim, you take dates, or grogros, or figs, or tzmukin, or raisins, ukayotze bahen, things like it. the Dorsin, O son, and you press it. The Nosnin, Lesochan, Chometz, you put vinegar in. Umitavlin, O son, Bitavlin, Kimotit, Biteven, and you put spices in it, like cement. And then Umavian Osala Shulchan Belaya Pesach. So the Rambam learned this idea that you're supposed to become a cookbook. He learned that from the Yerushalmi. If you take a look in Source Bet, which is Tosfos cites a Yerushalmi, Ubi Yerushalmi Omar, Is the Avdei Zecher Ledam. There are those who believe that Charoses is a zecher for the dam that the Egyptians used to slaughter Jewish blood. And if anybody had the leprosy, what they would do is bathe themselves in the Jewish blood.
What's the source for that? That it's for dam and not tit? Where did the Yerushalmi get
it? Where did we get it that it's a zecher letit? They quote psukim. They quote, that's what a medrash is. It's all a medrash. And therefore it's called tibulo b'mashke, because why do I call maror in charoses tibul b'mashke? What kind of mashke is it if you're making it the way the Rambam did with dates and things like that? That's why, again, Rabbi Shechter mentioned it, what do you put into charoses?
Wine.
How many people put wine in their charoses?
Yeah.
Based on this, red wine, so it should be ladam, and it should be considered tibulo b'mashke. And according to the Rambam, as you well know, the Rambam never heard of salt water. Everything is dipped on the Seder night in charoses. And in fact, I asked him after the shir, he quoted this, the Sefer Hamanig, who says, I went to see, he told us that the Rabbala Manik went, Rabbi Hayarchi, he went to the northern France, he went south to Spain, and he never saw anybody dip matzah into charoses. That's what he wrote, Sefer Hamanig. It's the Rambam Shita.
Mara and charoses?
Mara. Everybody dubs maror in charoses. The Rambam says you dip matzah in charoses. He said he never saw anybody dip matzah in charoses. Never. It's the Rambam Shita. Suppose everything you eat Seder night has to be dipped into charoses. Everybody. Everything. Matzah, maror, korech, karpas, and the Rambam writes elsewhere that he would have had korban Pesach in charoses as well, but there is a halacha that you're not permitted to diminish the time of kachim. Can't diminish the time of kachim. Yes.
So if that's the case of the Rambam, by virtue of the fact that everything gets tabled in charoses, that means when he says hava l'shulchan, means that could just be the point of when you introduce it into the meal, but it wouldn't make sense then. You put it on the table, you have to be tabled, but you don't.
No, that's just it. If the Rambam says the mitzvah is to bring it to the table, not to eat it as it on itself. It's just used as a dip.
Oh, okay.
It's used as a dip. So bring it to the table and then people will start dipping away. But in and of itself, it is not a chiyuv to eat independently, and hence there is no bracha. Is no bracha.
Why would you want to say if it's something for Cheiros, the matzah, at that time, why would you want to dip it in something as Zecher Letit?
Okay, so that was Rabbi Sheshi's whole shir, that everything Pesach at night has this dualism. Every aspect of the Seder has this dual nature to it.
So
I asked him that. He said he had no idea. He understood how the Baal HaManig would have gone to Spain and not heard about Shitas HaRamba. He has no idea. He said he's going to try to investigate. Now, the... assuming that we accept standard explanation number one of Zecher Letit, or we accept the Yerushalmi that it's a Zecher for the Dam, it fits in very well with another aspect of the Yontov of Pesach. One of Paro's schemes of destroying Am Yisrael was his recognition that if you want to get rid of the people permanently, you have to attack their children. You must attack their children. And that's why the three things that we know of, two in the text and one in a medrash that I will recite in a moment, are always directed at the children. He tells Shifra and Puah, Urisem al Hoavnayim, Urisem in Beinhu, Vahamitenoto, just kill the boy. Very nice. When that doesn't work, and they come up with their lame excuse why they couldn't do ski, right? Kichayo Seina, they gave birth before we arrived. So he says, Kol Habein Hayilod, Hayaora Tashlichohu. The Medrash says that what did he do in order to eliminate the children? He took them and mixed them with little born babies, recently born babies, put them in the cement in the tip, and put the bricks right on top of them and crushed them. And crushed them. So it's either the tit or the dam. Or the dam represent the attack on Am Yisrael, Jewish blood being spilled by being nishchat. That is why the entire centrality of the Seder revolves around children. If Paro decided to attack our children, the way we are going to perpetuate ourselves is by assuring that the children at least are expressing an interest. So our challenge as parents and grandparents is to try to get them involved to some extent, because if they will not get involved, they show no interest whatsoever, then it's a little difficult to sustain continuity of Am Yisrael. So the fact that the charoses represents the tit, and there are so many other symbols which seem to be directed at children, and especially the pasuk itself, that's why of all of the Yomim Tovim, the Vihigata Talavincha is the highlight, Pesach at night, because it is the antidote to that which Paro attempted to do. Paro attempted to do. Now, the Ramah goes so far about Tosfos of Yerushalmi actually says, in that Tosfos in Source Beis, he quotes the Tshuvas of the Gaonim in the second line. That Tshuvas of Mefarsh Lasus Charoses Bepeiros Shenidba LeYisrael B'Shir Hashirim Tachas HaTapuach Orar Ticha. You're supposed to put an apple in the Charoses. Anybody here put apples in the Charoses? Very nice. So the Ramah takes this so far. Listen to this. Not well known. It's in Source Hay. Yesh machmirin od shelo le'echol peiros. On Erev Yontif. He's talking about the Isur of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. Isur of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. Kidei le'echol hacharoses l'teyavon. Hacharoses l'teyavon. And many, and the Ramah writes, ve'ein lochosh l'minagahu. You don't have to be concerned about this particular minna. But many ask the question, if the Ramah found it necessary to comment about it, apparently it was a pretty widespread minna. And many asked the question, where did they come up with this business that there is a chiyuv to eat a charoses, and that's why in order to make sure you do it l'teyavon, you don't eat fruit all day? Where did they see? The answer is Shitas HaRambam in his Perush HaMishnah. Because the Rambam said there is, according to Rabbi Elazar b'Rab Tzadok, there is a mitzvah to eat charoses. You make a bracha, in which case there would be no difference between not eating matzah and not eating charoses. The yesh Machmirim, continuing. Shelo lefarer o lishpor hamatzos be'erev Pesach. You shouldn't crumple up or break the matzos on Erev Pesach. What guy would be doing breaking up? What would he do, break? So he shouldn't have any shleimos for the Seder? We have enough problem getting... Exactly. It's crazy. I don't understand it. Shelo lovo le'echol mehem. Just to make sure that what? You don't eat them on Erev Pesach. V'ein lochush gam lozeh. You don't have to worry about that. And if you want to break them up, you don't have to break them up as long as you don't eat them whatsoever.
Maybe something like matzmel is
what?
Maybe he's referring to something like matzmel.
So then, adarabba, then you shouldn't break it up and use matzmel. He's saying people would break up their matzah so that you wouldn't eat it. Shelo lechol. That's what he said. It's very, very unusual.
Don't break it so that you should have eaten.
Shelo lavo le'echol
mehem. It's a double negative.
No, but that's what he means. Break them, shelo lavo, so that we will not come le'echol mehem. What?
The shalolifrar,
they
wouldn't break it.
Oh, shalolifrar, oh, you're right. I stand corrected, not to break them up. Excuse me, you're right, 100% right. V'ein lochush gam lozeh. You want to break it? Be my guest.
No, so I mean...
Yeah. Right. The answer is, it's a machlokes. Some say that the only type of matzah with which you're not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach is matzah with which you can fulfill the mitzvah. I don't think you can fill the mitzvah with matzah meal. And that's why many Rishonim say you're allowed to eat egg matzahs. Exactly, matzah ashira. When Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, the Rabbeinu Tam said, eat matzah ashira for Suda Shlishis. You can't eat chametz, eat for matzah, exactly. And other Rishayim disagreed with the Rabbeinu Tam and said, no, any type of matzah, even with which you cannot be mekayim in the mitzvah. Yeah.
Being the kind of mitzvah refers to a particular amount, a quantity. Nobody's eating a whole matzah, ingesting it in his mouth, he's breaking it down. So if somebody can't bite into it, he crumples it up, does that mean he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah?
No, he does. If he crushes it like matzah meal, I'm not sure. But if he just breaks it, he's becoming the mitzvah.
He's forgetting the breaking, but. For whatever reason, he crumbled. It's still matzah.
Why would you go
at the center?
No, because you need, you can't even make hamotzi lechem in aretz on matzah meal.
No, he doesn't. He makes the bracha, and then he takes the matzah. But in order to consume it, he crumbles it up. He can't.
Could.
Really,
yeah, I hear. I'm sure you heard Ben-Gurion's joke about this halacha. Sure, you heard Ben-Gurion's joke. Ben-Gurion said that the source, it's a Nudis Yerushalmi, which said that the reason why you're not supposed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach is not based so that you shouldn't have an appetite. It's a little sharper than that. The Yerushalmi says, Kol ha'ochel matzah be'erev Pesach ki'ilu bo'el arusasai be'beis chamav. It's as if you had relations with your fiancé in your father-in-law's house before you got married. Jump the gun. So the Gaon says, just as, what it means is, that just as before you have relations with your wife, you need nisuin and sheva brachos to be matir you, you need the sheva brachos, you have to recite the sheva brachot at the seder before you get to matzah. And we recite seven brachos. Baruch Pri Hagafen, Mekadesh Yisrael, Vahazmanim, Shehecheyanu, Baruch Pri Adama, Hamoitzi Lechem in Aretz, Goal Yisrael, Al Netilas Yadayim, and Hamoitzi Lechem in Aretz. Seven brachos. Now you're ready to eat Alachilas Matzah. That's how to go and interpret the Yerushalmi. So, but that's not, but it's still a very strange imagery. Supposedly, Ben-Gurion said, Ta'amti et shnehem ve'ein l'damot. Ve'ein l'damot. Can't compare eating a piece of matzah or Pesach. It's not like Shabbat our first prime minister.
So is there still
stira
in the Rambam?
No, like the Mishnah says, it happens all the time. However, there is a credible Mordechai which seems to indicate that the Mordechai accepted the Rambam Shita in Mishnah Torah, in his Perush HaMishnah. Take a look at the Mordechai in Pesachim. The halacha is, according to many Rishonim, that you have to eat everything that you're supposed to eat at the same time. Whenever there is a mitzvah achila, you have to eat the entire kezayis at the same time. So, in the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, I mentioned the Mechaber said, L'lichachila, you're supposed to eat a kezayis of the Shlema and a kezayis of the Prusa when you make Hamotzi Lechem and Aretz. Right? Kezayis of each. And the Mechaber writes, it would be best to eat them Shnehem B'yachad. Shnehem B'yachad. Okay? Fine. Now, says the Mordechai, if we paskin like Hillel, that matzah and maror and korban pesach have to be eaten together, if we should paskin like him, now that's bisman hamikdash. How many kezayim are you going to have to eat? Three at one time: kezayis of matzah, kezayis of maror, kezayis of korban pesach. However, the Mordechai says, today we can have that problem as well. How can you have that problem? If you hold that when you eat korech, you need charoses. You eat matzah, maror, and charoses. What do you mean three kezayim? So that's what he writes. And he asks the question. He writes that you're supposed to eat kezayis matzah, kezayis maror, or kezayis charoses, and in brackets Pesach, and the way everybody explains it. Bezman HaMikdash, you eat what? Pesach. Bezman HaZeh, what do you eat? Charoses. V'im Tomar asks to Mordechai a good question. Ho'ein Machzik Beis Habliya Kol Kach. You can't swallow three kezayim at one time. It's impossible. The maximum that you can swallow at one time is two kezayim. I wouldn't, as I said, I wouldn't recommend that anybody to do it, even two kezayim to swallow at one time. But, now, what does he mean, three kezayim?
What does he mean by pasachah?
It means to chew it up in your mouth, put everything on the side, and then what? Swallow it down at one time. Very dangerous. But how else could you have three kezayim bizman hazeh? Only for charoses. So how did he understand charoses? The same way the Rambam understood charoses of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok, that it's a mitzvah to eat, you make a bracha al achilas charoses. So even though the Rambam himself rejected it, the Mordechai did not reject that interpretation. And that he believed you're supposed to eat a kezayis of charoses together with a kezayis of matzah and a kezayis of maror. Therefore he asked, how is it physically possible to do so if your esophagus is not big enough to occupy three kezayim of anything,
They eat charoses with the
no, because once they're eating korban pesach, they couldn't do it. That's that. The third pesach is the third kezayis. Pesach matzah mar didn't have charoses. Today we eat charoses. So he asked the question: both bisman hamikdash and today, how could you eat three at one time?
Where do you see the three? Well, honestly, where do you see that he wanted three kezayim?
Because he says, what? He writes, Kizayis Matzah, Kizayis Mara, Ukizayis Charoses, that's in parentheses, the four brackets. They're all Pesach Va'oche, and you eat all three of them at the same time. It's, I agree with you. You know, I don't know how it's humanly possible to swallow two, I don't know, it's humanly possible one Kizayis at one time. That's a half a matzah.
Why do we need a full, why do we need shiur for something that's Zecher Lamikdash anyway?
What?
Why do we need a full shiur for something that's Zecher Lamikdash? It's only like a symbol.
Because the Rabbanon said, do it. That's one. Like many things when the Rabbanon stands, Ke'en the Oraisa. We do that all the time. That's correct. I once had a famous history of Talmudic literature professor at YU, Professor Feldman. Feldblum, and he said, you know what kezias means? Not the volume of a kezias, the shape of an olive. A flat, the surface area of an olive. Take a little piece of matzah, then you can eat three kezaisim at one time, no problem.
But even the volume of what we think is an olive would be okay.
Right, but we know the olives got bigger. Right, the olives got smaller, the eggs got smaller, everything was smaller. Yeah. Alright, we'll stop here, Rabbi Time, and we'll continue next Devach. Well, not next Devach, in 2 weeks.
Doesn't eating it mean you just eat it? You have to consume a certain amount, not swallow it.
I know. But some Rishonim, the Mechaber included, meant that since eating is defined as swallowing, you have to swallow the whole Kezias at the same time. It makes very little sense.